Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo, and this program today, the first part of it's going to be dedicated to kids, because I have a very strong passion when it comes to reading for children, and I think having good reading material for the young ones in the household is so important. And one thing I learned by being the author of an award-winning children's book is that the book has to appeal to the parents as well as the kids. Because if mom doesn't like it, and usually it's the mom that's buying the book, then consequently the book never ends up in the home. Well, moms and dads out there, and aunts and uncles and grandmas and grandpas, I want you to know that we have a guest today, Lisa Johnson, who has put together two wonderful books. Now, Lisa was on with me prior to Halloween because we were talking about the Halloween book that she had, but we've got two we're going to be talking about today, Winter's Eve, Love and Light, and then Christmas Eve, The Joy of Giving. Lisa, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much, Donna. It's a pleasure to be on with you again.
Yes, and I want my listeners to know a little bit about the journey that you have gone through to reach this delightful result with a character called Eve, who is this just absolutely charming little fairy.
Oh, well, thank you so much. We've had an absolutely delightful time creating her. And she was really created, our version of her was really created out of necessity. We had a love for fairies and the magical and the brilliance. We had a very young daughter at the time that we started this journey. And we really could not find books that explained the holidays in a way that was delightful for children. It seemed that things, they were very secular things or very religious things, and there really wasn't anything celebrating the light that was going on. And so each of our books really responded to a direct need that we found and could not find anything to suit it in the marketplace. Now, my husband's a toy designer and illustrator, and so it was a very natural fit for him to be able to easily parlay his talents to make this wonderful world that he creates in these books.
Yes, and the artistry. He's just absolutely wonderful. Now, you have a little girl, Josie.
I do.
And this is something that as parents that you really kept in mind. It's something that you would want to share with your own child, which I think is a wonderful, wonderful positioning to come from when you're putting together a story.
Well, I think that what we were appealing to was that universality in kids, what Josie's delight and love and eagerness for life and willingness to explore it. Really, we just wanted to encourage that, like every parent does. And that's really a universal thing, and to be able to provide joy and excitement about what's happening in our world was really what our goal was.
Absolutely. Now, what I'd like to do, because winter is just around the corner, of course, the holidays are coming up, and that's one of the reasons why I wanted to talk about your book, so that those who are listening, one, towards the end of our interview, they'll be able to go to your website to find out how they can get a hold of your material. But winter, when it starts coming in, produces a whole different environment. And your first book, which I wanted to talk about, Winter's Eve, Love and Light, really has a global theme to it. Now, what made you decide you wanted to have this global theme to Winter's Eve?
Well, my passion all my life has been multiculturalism for kids, and that derived from my enthusiasm in my travels. I had the benefit of traveling throughout college a bit, you know, on the dime that college students travel. And when I came back, I really realized that there was nothing that was more exciting and valuable to me than experiencing other people's cultures and the richness of the Earth's stories. And so I began Peacemakers, which is a program that we provide multicultural and geographic education for kids in the elementary schools. And I've been doing that, Donna, for 20 years.
My goodness. Well,
and I should wish you a happy Diwali, because the first holiday that we explore in Winter's Eve, Diwali, which is the kind of the biggest festival of the year in India,
yes,
is tomorrow.
Yes, that's one of the things I was going to mention. Now, right at the front of your book, the beautiful artistry that your husband does, it starts with, when winter comes, there's not much sun, so we find clever ways to celebrate our light and love. We call them holidays. And I really liked that opening, because I thought it was just a wonderful way to share something with a child. And the illustrations by your husband, again, are just incredible. And one of the first in the book shows the All Hallows International Flower Port. And I just love that. And I enjoyed the flying fairies with the suitcases. And you have all of these different costumes. And, of course, everybody's got wings because they're all part of fairyland. But it's whimsical. It's something that really would appeal to children.
Well, I think that there's a really magical bridge that you need to create between reality and the world of imagination. And as long as you have some touchstones that children can relate to and understand, you really get to push the imagination into new territory. So that's kind of where that whole image started, with things that they could relate to but presented in a way that they've never seen before.
Now, you have a character in here that I just thought was adorable, and I think the U.S. Postal Service would probably take offense a little bit. It's the squirrel nut chippers. I'll never look at a squirrel in the same way ever again.
He's got
his own little pouch, and he's got his own little logo. I mean, it's really adorable.
That was one of the first characters to come, and we thought about how can we make this delightful. One of the things I have to tell you is that when we first looked at writing a multicultural book, we spent really a couple of years figuring out how to best do it that was at every step exciting and happy and joyful. We thought, oh, could Eve be sad and she would be looking to humans at the different ways they celebrate to help light her up? But we really wanted to do it 100% positive. And so then we had to find transitions for each thing, each area, each holiday that would be fun and have some levity and make kids giggle.
Mm-hmm. Well, what I like is, because of the international theme, it is in a way also a little educational, giving a little bit of information. And the Diwali, the lighting lamps called the dias, is introducing something to children that they might not otherwise have an opportunity to become aware of. And I think that when we can teach our children that there are these different cultures, there are these different traditions, and there are stories behind them, it enables them to have a sense of appreciation and an awareness that there's just no one way that anything is done, depending on where you are in the world and what culture you're in, depends on what their traditions or holiday might be.
Well, and that is true. What we learned so much in creating this book. I very often laugh because my five-year-old knows more about India and China and different countries than I knew up until I was, in my late 30s,
mm-hmm,
when we started the research.
Mm-hmm.
And for us, what was most telling, because we learned so much about each culture and about each holiday, was how much differentiation there is within any of those given holidays. Diwali is celebrated different. I think there are over 300 languages in India, and each of those regions and those towns have their own spin on the holiday that makes it very special to them.
That's right.
Just like we know many people that celebrate Christmas or Hanukkah very differently. People are very traditional, some people are very secular. And it's a wonderful lesson for children. I know with my daughter, she's 5, and she wants to really do everything perfectly, and learning that your own interpretation and your own celebration of your life is what matters, and the finding that was very important for us to try to impart.
Well, the fairy Eve, she has this wonderful singing cricket that just absolutely regales her with a singing telegram, and he's come delivering a telegram from a friend who's traveling in Israel. And so there's Hanukkah. and you give the story about that. And then you go into another part of the world. You have Saint Lucia's.
Yes, in
holiday.
Sweden.
And this is from Sweden. And your husband, when he did the drawings, they are so warm. They have so much color in them. And it just gives a sense of excitement because it adds to the child's imagination as being read the story when you're able to share these kinds of pictures.
Well, that, thank you so much, because that is exactly what he's trying to do. And especially in the winter when things start to get maybe a little more drab, you know, after the beautiful colors of fall, it's kind of a letdown. And so we want to create as much vibrancy and color as we can for those grayer months.
Absolutely. And you talk about the Advent wreath that comes with that holiday. And then Kwanzaa. You go into Kwanzaa, which is a relatively new holiday when
it
you
is.
Think of the others. But it is a relatively new holiday. And then she's sharing this with other fairies. And, again, the portrayal is there's differences even among the fairies, but you can all share all of this. And what a wonderful message to be able to give to children, educating them about these various holidays.
Well, Donna, if you notice the dedication in the book, it says for you, which is the same dedication we had in our Halloween book, but it adds for everyone else too, because in all of our wonderful differentness, because a potluck is no fun if everybody brings the same dish.
And that's so true.
And it really is this color and vibrancy and variety that makes this experience on our planet as amazing as it is. And so we really want to help start that message.
And then you also go into what is described to this wonderful little fairy Eve, an Asian-looking drop from Ming Ming.
Well, we have a friend that adopted a baby from China, and her name is Ming Ming, and I just think that is the most darling name I've ever heard, so I had to put it in a book. And that Asian looking drop, once again, it was a looking drop was an idea that Tucker had, is one of these, what's a really fun way that we can make this transition? And it's really the crystal water and being able to kind of have a holographic image in that. And we went with Asian because there are so many New Year celebrations in Asia. Chinese New Year, obviously, everyone's familiar with, but there's Tet in Vietnam and throughout Asia, you know, Thailand, everybody has, most countries have a very similar New Year celebration that takes several weeks and is the most traveled time on the globe.
Yes, and it is such a meaningful time because often that's one of the few times in a year people will get together.
Yes.
And in the Asian culture, the New Year is so very, very important because they are starting over. And it goes back so many centuries. So there's really a very special magic with that. Well, with this book, I really liked what you had in the final part, and I'm going to read this. The wintertime is special because as our wings slow down, it reminds us every year to stop and take a look around. We see the brightness in the past, each in his own tradition, that serves to find the light in you. That's every person's mission. Eve's pappy finish, see how much each flicker adds into the light. For without each one, remember, the world wouldn't be as bright. Little Eve reveled in the fact that she had learned so many ways to help share her love and light and joy with her pappy holidays. And the book ends so beautifully. But again, the illustrations, the wonderful feeling of warmth, the concept that she's with her dad, and he's sharing all of these wonderful stories with her. It is very supportive of family. It is very supportive of this wonderful interaction, which I think is great. So that's your book, Winter's Eve, Love and Lights. And what's the age range for this book?
I would have to say 4 to 8 is the real sweet spot.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
That just correlates with their interests. Fairies are very interesting to kids at that time, and Tucker really put a lot into the illustrations specifically for that age group.
Mm-hmm.
So,
all right, so now we're moving on because we're going to go to Christmas Eve. Now, here you had the one book that was international. Why did you decide you wanted two, that one was just totally focusing on Christmas Eve, and then the other one was the international cultural positioning? What was it that made you decide you wanted to do them this way?
Well, we wanted to do it when we did the Halloween book because we really wanted a way to introduce children in a happy-go-lucky way to this very important holiday for them. And the next thing, as parents, we really felt we needed tools for was to bridge the Santa Claus excitement and wonderfulness and joy with the Nativity's message and importance in Christmas. And we could not find any tools and books or resources that would help us bridge that holiday, make it a unified holiday in our family. Our daughter very much seemed like Christmas was, there was Santa Claus, and that was one holiday, and then what's this other holiday?
Mm-hmm.
So that book came first to meet that, again, specific need that we saw, and we really didn't see else anything in the marketplace, and we were sure other people wanted to bridge that gap as well.
Now, this book, and this one is called Christmas Eve, The Joy of Giving. It starts out, once upon a winter's day before the snow came out to play, a fairy who makes little toys came to learn of Christmas joys. And here we have, it's an entirely different feel with the art.
Mm-hmm.
And it has what I call more of the white background. So the illustrations pop in a different way, and that's my terminology.
Mm-hmm.
And Eve just has so many characters that communicate with her. I just love this because she's always getting mail. It's not email. This is Magic Express. And what's so fun about this one is that it starts off with her getting a letter from Santa, and usually it's the other way around.
It is. And isn't it every child's delight when they get a piece of mail? Can't every child just relate to the thrill when something comes for you? And Santa had a very important mission for Eve, and Eve was very excited to get that particular piece.
Yes, especially when the situation with Santa. And this is really cute because of the illustrations, elf pox. I mean, I thought I'd heard of everything, but elf pox. Okay, they're all polka-dotted. So here are all the elves, and they're all in bed, and they're coughing, and there's all kinds of attendance by the reindeer bringing them hot soup, and they've all got spots all over their faces, and they're curled up with their teddy bears, and they're just being in their little elf beds. It's absolutely adorable.
That was a really funny idea. Well, we knew that Eve made toys from our first book, and we figured Santa's pretty all set in the toy department, but if anything happened to those poor elves, the North Pole would be so focused on taking care of their very dear friends that they would need a toy fairy.
Mm-hmm.
They would need some help. And so Tucker just took that illustration over the top, I thought, with the reindeer and all of their various nursing capacities. I just never stopped laughing when he was drawing that.
Right. I especially like the tray balancing act with the antlers.
Yes.
That's a good one. That is really a good one. But when you proceed with the story, here's Eve, and she's gone up to the North Pole, and she's freezing to death, for heaven's sakes.
Yeah, fairies don't handle the Arctic weather very well, typically.
No, they're sun bunnies. That's what
they are.
They don't like cold weather. But she ended up being garbed. And it's fascinating because with the illustrations, there is the wonderful story of the Nativity that so many people around the world always enjoy. But Santa, well, he's got a pretty full job because he's running in and out of the infirmary taking care of his polka dot elf.
Yeah. And he's got a whole rainbow of popsicles to help bring down their fevers. But he still takes the time to let Eve know the inspiration for Christmas and why he does what he does.
Mm-hmm. Now, you go into the traditional history about, you know, how Santa came about doing what he's doing and all kinds of things. And you go into an aspect that I thought was intriguing, and that was the Wright brothers.
Oh, yeah.
What made the two of you come up with Orville Wright?
Well, the idea, and actually that was the premise of the book, that idea that it's the little things in our lives that really have a big impact on our destiny and who we become. And we don't never know it at the time. And so we had talked, and I can't recall exactly how. I grew up in Detroit, and Greenfield Village is there, which has an enormous tribute to the Wright brothers. So they've been in my mind and in my experience for many years. But I thought, what do you think gave them these ideas? And I bet it was something small. I bet it was something small and working together somewhere in their youth that really took off their imagination and their sense of themselves and what they could do. And, Don, I have to tell you, this is great, because in this book it says one Christmas when Orville was just about six, his new pterodactyl did loop-de-loop tricks. And Donna, we wrote the book, we illustrated it, it's at the publisher, it's at the printer, and I said, oh my goodness, when did they discover pterodactyls? And don't you know, it was when Orville Wright was 5 years old, the first pterodactyl was unearthed.
Amazing.
Isn't that?
That's so fun.
We breathed quite a sigh of relief and just were thrilled by that.
I can imagine. So you go into this also about how reindeer are getting bored. Because they're not in. I mean, who would think reindeer get bored? I mean, they're just reindeer, for heaven's sake. But I absolutely adore the illustrations, because Eve comes up with a special gift for the reindeer. And the reindeer playing their reindeer soccer, that's what I'd call it, or frisbees. You know, they're out there. And the thought is a gift that makes someone feel like they're appreciated. And this is what Eve is all about. This is what she wants to do. She wants to be able to give. She wants to be able to share. And that's the whole message of the book. And with this, do you ever go out and do readings for schools and share this with children?
We do very often with all of the books, and we have so much fun in the school programs, especially because we'll read the book and then we'll talk about the joy of seeing the pictures and hearing the words. And sometimes the words tell you things that aren't in the pictures, and sometimes the pictures tell you much, much more than are in the words, especially in a children's book where you have so much visual stimulation and usually typically just a few lines of text. And so then we create poems with the kids, and Tucker illustrates them. And we do it typically classroom by classroom, or just a couple classrooms together. So they all have a poem that they helped write that was illustrated to help that show that concept throughout the year.
Let me ask you a question, since you are involved with children to such a degree, and you have a youngster of your own. What are some of your favorite stories regarding children and the responses that you've gotten to your book?
Oh, gosh, there are so many. In responses to our book?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the first most wonderful, meaningful to me story was with the Halloween book, the very first year we wrote it, and we had just put it out ourselves with a printer in town and before we got picked up. And I had taken it and read it to a community event, a Halloween event in a community. And there were probably 40 or 50 kids there. And at the end, a mom came with two boys. One was in a wheelchair. And she said, I'd like you to come and read it by my son's birthday party, because he is very, very ill. And if he reads things or has read things, especially around Halloween, that are scary, it affects his heart. It's something that he can't do. It's dangerous to him. And your story was so light and beautiful, he really enjoyed it. So would you come to our house and read at his birthday party? And, of course, I was delighted to. And we had a wonderful time, and it was a very special, special time. And he died just a few months later, very unexpectedly.
What a wonderful, wonderful experience to have.
I was very honored to be able to participate.
And to think that you had an effect on that child before he passed away.
And he had quite an effect on me. It was very, very lovely for me.
Now, with these books, now this is Christmas Eve, The Joy of Giving, and Winter's Eve, and Love and Light. With doing these books, where do you see yourself going with these books? What's your next project?
Well, we have three books in the hopper right now. And that we have New Year's Eve, because when you name somebody Eve, you can get a lot of mileage out of that.
Okay, this little fairy Eve, she's going to be busy.
She is, and the reason why we want to do a New Year's book is because from the start of school and then Halloween and then Thanksgiving and then Christmas and then New Year's, and then all of a sudden it's very quiet for a couple of months in a child's life.
Mm-hmm.
And that can be kind of a letdown time. And so we want to write something that, again, is a positive note. Because, you see, in the Christmas book, we see that Eve takes a personal transformation from thinking, nobody really wants what I have to offer, to, oh, I know what I can do, you know, and to really share herself and make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
We want to take that the next step into really helping kids start to imagine nurturing themselves in the quiet time of winter. So that's next. We also have a St. Patrick's Day book that's all in Limerick.
Oh, my. That'll be fun.
That, you know, and then we have a Hanukkah book as well that explores the idea that both of the miracles of Hanukkah were based on people who did not have enough of what they needed to do what they felt needed to be done. But if you gave it what you got, whether or not you felt it was enough, that left room for the miracle.
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful stories. And I know that you and your husband will be very, very successful with this now. If people want to find out more about your book, with the holidays coming up, and there are those that are listening, aunts, uncles, grandmas, grandpas, moms and dads, maybe even some teachers that would like to have something to perhaps have a tradition, because your books are very much of that patterning. It's something you can share with children year after year after year and pass it along in the family, where it goes along and you maybe pass it along to your grandchildren, so you share the tradition. And I think the tradition of reading and having wonderful stories to share is just magical.
Oh, I couldn't agree more.
Where can they go? What's your website?
www.positivespinpress.com. And that's because we're trying to put a positive spin on these holidays and really, you know, make it very appropriate for children. So it's positivespinpress.com. And other things that they'll find there, for example, for teachers, there are coloring aids for any of the holidays and the light objects and the multicultural, which really, I think, cracks a nut for teachers because it's so hard to decorate for a holiday right now without having to kind of clip your own wings.
Mm-hmm.
So we're trying to create some materials for Eve and this Eve so that you can have a multicultural holiday visual in your classroom that includes everyone.
Well, I think that's marvelous. Now, with what you're doing and with the books that are coming out, you have this wonderful website. What is the big dream?
The big dream. Well, the big dream for Positive Spin Press is to hit the touch points that children are exposed to but don't have necessarily any ability to personally understand. And so Positive Spin Press is really to take the holidays and talk about what they can mean to you in a wonderful and uplifting way. And that's part of a larger plan, which is with our Peacemakers work and this cultural and geographic literacy, which is to encourage everyone to view this magnificent earth that we're on as the vast, wonderful, celebratory experience that it is, and be interested in the many, many things that are going on.
And I think anything that can promote that understanding between cultures, goodness knows, we have enough garbage going on right now where people, for whatever reason, decide that they're going to argue because they don't know what else to do with themselves. And we create all kinds of unpleasant circumstances. To be able to share thoughts with children, since this is going to be their world in the years to come, maybe it will enable them to see that they can make a different world. If their world has not been such a good one as they have perceived it, that they can make a difference. And I think that's what literacy is all about. That gives you an opportunity when you can read. Because when you can read, then you can think. And when you can think, then you know how to ask questions. And when you ask questions, you learn.
And there's so much to learn. And there's so much joy to be experienced in this world. And sometimes it's very hard to keep our focus there, but I think it's such a gift to offer the tools and the guidelines towards that focus is our privilege to help create.
Winter's Eve, Love and Lights, Christmas Eve, The Joys of Giving, Lisa Johnson has been my guest. Her husband is the magnificent illustrator, and believe me, his artwork is just incredible. So go to her website, positivespinpress.com, and you'll find out all kinds of good things about their company, what they've done, and the difference that they are trying to make through the written word and through art in the lives of children. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to take a break. Lisa, thank you so much for being my guest.
Thank you so much, Donna.
We'll be back in just a moment.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hi, this is Donna, and telephone lines are now open. Give me a buzz if you'd like for me to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. Here are the toll-free numbers, 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. Canadians, it's 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Also, we have another number of 530-876-3222. That's 530-876-3222. Well, I have to tell you, I'm finally getting through. I went through about 300 emails just a couple of hours ago, and I want to thank those of you who have sent me material, which, by the way, if you have a special story, which I'm going to share from one of my listeners that was sent to me, if you have a special story that you would like for me to know about, a wonderful recipe, we're cutting into the holidays, I'd love to know what's the favorite at your house, then send it along to Donna at DelphiInternational.com. That's Donna at Delphi, D-E-L-P-H-I, international.com. And I will be delighted to review your material. And like I said, I went through over 300 emails this morning, and boy, it is amazing. I just so appreciate your patience, and you will be getting responses from me as I'm able to get to those messages that you have left me. So just know I will respond. I wanted to let you know, too, about my guests that are coming up. Tomorrow we're going to be talking with Katie Bannister. Now, this lady has written a book called The Personal Care Attendant Guide, and this is a very special lady. Katie was very seriously injured in an accident. She's coming from a perspective of what someone who is looking for help needs, but she also addresses the issue of a caretaker and what's involved. So I think if you have someone in your family that's elderly, or if you yourself go through this kind of a challenge, you're going to want to hear Katie's message. And don't forget, it may help a friend. And then Betty Young is going to be my guest. We're going to be talking about teaching kids to care. And so often we forget that children need to have examples. I was reviewing some material today about children in another country and how violent and ugly their lives are and how frequently that is perpetuated. We even see it here in the U.S. We find that there are many kids that if they are in environments that are ugly and nasty, they often carry it forward. Not always, but all too frequently they do. So teaching kids to care is, I think, a very good thing. Then we're going to be talking next week with Kiss of a Dolphin. Tom Dewey is going to be my guest. This is a wonderful story. We're going to be also discussing Ripley's Believe It or Not, The Remarkable Reveal. Tim O'Brien is going to be a repeat guest. Dorothy Brenninger is going to be my guest about the senior organizer. For those of you that have senior members in your family, or if you're a senior yourself, this is a good book to have because it's going to help you put things in the right place. Also, Remembrances of Times Past with Martha Hyatt. And then we're going to be talking turkey with Leo Perlstein. Leo is one of my favorite people. He's been on my show these past few years, and he also has such wonderfully scrumptious recipes to share. So we're going to be talking with a lot of neat people, a lot of things coming up, a lot of fun. So be sure and tell your friends. And if you want to check on the guests that are coming on, all you have to do is go into my website, go to my newsletter. You'll see the posting. Every month I put a posting of the guests that are coming up. And then also you can go to bbsradio.com and you'll see a posting there. You'll see the listing of the guests that I have coming on. So again, if you want to give me a buzz, 877-876-5227 if you'd like to chat with me. If you're a new listener, I want to welcome you. Also tell you, if you're a new listener, all you have to do is give me your first name or initial. And, of course, I love to know where you're calling from. And then I'll give you my insights for you, and you're welcome to ask a question about anything that comes into your mind. Again, 877-876-5227 for the U.S., Canadians, 888-815-9756. Well, I was sent from Earlene some photos. Of course, being on the radio, I'm not going to be able to show the photos to you. But this is information about a very rare, and of course, it is a very beautiful pink dolphin. Now, I don't know if you've ever heard of one. I've never heard of a pink dolphin. And so when I saw the photos, I was just amazed. And it was spotted, this dolphin in the photographs that were sent to me, was spotted in photographs by Captain Eric Rue of a particular Calicio charter service. And this was done in June of this year when he was on a charter fishing trip on this lake south of Lake Charles, Louisiana. Now, they think it's sort of like a freak, the coloration of this dolphin. They call it albino dolphin. It has reddish eyes and glossy pink skin, and it is substantially smaller in comparison with the others that it is traveling with, and it appeared at the time they saw it to be a baby dolphin. And they saw this beautiful, beautiful pink dolphin cruising with a pod of four other dolphins. Now, Captain Eric, along with the guests, just kept the boat real quiet and took photos like crazy for over an hour, and they're hoping that they are going to be able to see this beautiful dolphin again. They are assuming it's going to be its coloration for the rest of its life, this beautiful, beautiful pink. So I want to thank Earlene for sending that information to me. Mother Nature sometimes does some very unusual things. And when she does, it's not unlike the white buffalo. When it appears in Native American legend, it is a powerful, powerful symbol. And the pink dolphin, I think, is a first for so many people. I know I have never, ever heard of that before. So thank you again, Earlene. And if you have a special story, don't forget, send it to Donna at DelphiInternational.com. Donna at DelphiInternational.com. Well, I wanted to share a story with you today. One person makes a difference. And so often, we may not think we're very significant because we're not on the front page of a magazine. We're not one of these famous movie stars. But you never know when you're going to have an opportunity in life to touch someone else's world and make a big difference. And that was the case with a young woman who was a teacher, or is a teacher. She not was a teacher. She is a teacher. And this is about a family, and the mom's name is Nandy, and she is in New Lenox, Illinois. Her son, Brandon, seemed to be like any other kid, but one day, when he was about 9 years old, he was feeling excruciating pain. They had no idea. Of course, they rushed him to the doctor, and the doctor, in turn, sent him in for some tests. And they found out that he had polycystic kidney disease. Now, most of us are never going to experience anything like this, and here's a 9-year-old little boy that's going through it. And what this disease is, it is all about his kidneys. And the disease causes cysts that grow on the kidneys. And, of course, the kidneys then cannot function because of these cysts. And your kidneys are part of what the body uses to filter toxins from blood. Well, they figured medication would help him and then dialysis. But he absolutely had to have a kidney transplant. There was nothing they could do for this kidney situation. They couldn't use anybody in the family. They tried the grandparents. Everyone tested them all. But nobody in his family qualified to help with a kidney transplant. Well, Brandon one day went to school, and his parents were very open with him about what was being done and the testing and what was working and what wasn't working. And when he found out that no one in his family could possibly contribute an organ because they didn't match, when he was at school this one day, he was pretty upset. Well, his teacher, Patsy Donahue, and he was in the fourth grade, wanted to know what was wrong. And he told her. Well, Patsy was really deeply affected by this because most people that are on the transplant waiting list, they don't get the transplant and they pass away. With Patsy, there was something very special that had touched her own life because her dad, when she was 15 years of age, had been diagnosed with leukemia. And he had to have a bone marrow transplant. And Patsy said, we were fortunate in our family. There was someone that could do that. And my dad was able to beat the disease. And she thought, you know what? I think I'm going to go down. I've always felt like it would be nice if I could do something to help somebody else that might have a physical problem like my dad was helped by the member of our family. She decided she'd go down and she would be tested. Well, she found out, now this is his teacher, that she was a match. So Patsy went to the family, went to Brandon's family, and said, I will give a kidney for your son. Well, you know what? It worked. His new kidney from Patsy worked beautifully. The family was ecstatic. Brandon is now 12 years old. He's a sixth grader. And Patsy said, I just feel great about what I've done. And she said, I wanted to be sure that Brandon could follow his dreams. Now, the reason I wanted to share this story is that last night I was talking with someone in my home who was making their will out. And they said one of the things they wanted to be sure was done when they passed away, whenever it would happen, is that if they had any healthy organs, they wanted to be able to donate them because they knew it could make a difference in someone else's life. And I think that that is something that is worth considering. Dependent on what your feelings are, you might want to consider doing the same thing. Now, if you want to help anyone with an organ transplant, then you can get in touch with all kinds of people. And one of the things that they will request as, you know, doing a blood match and all of that, but putting it on a card where you are willing to be an organ donator, that is something that's very, very important. So don't forget, this is something that can make a difference in someone else's life. And again, it was not a coincidence that this information about Brandon and his teacher Patsy came in front of me. Because I just had a conversation with someone last night Synchronicity is interesting, isn't it? Remember, one person can make a difference. Patsy made a big difference in Brandon's life, and it can be done in so many different ways. This is Donna Sebo. We are going to be taking a break here for just a moment. Give me a buzz if you'd like some intuitive insight. 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756. We're going to be back in just a moment.
Enter the magical world of God's kiss.
He sees a large open area of valley ground covered with a thick green grass. In the open space are many other children and animals. All kinds of animals. And all of the animals are talking. He can understand every word they are saying.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life, ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95, plus shipping and handling. And the author Donna Sebo will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. Hey, I came across a recipe. If you are a person that loves chicken and you want to have something a little bit different, how about some grilled chicken and peaches? Now, you can also broil this. And there are people that use their grills in their kitchens. They have them built into their stovetops. And it is just so easy and so, so fast. You know, there's fresh peaches aren't available right now. But you can use canned peaches, and it really is great. So use your broiler if you don't have a stove grill. But I wanted to just share this with you. But I'll give you a chance. Go get yourself a pad of paper and a pen, and then let me share you with you some fun information about animals. I just love this. Animals can do some things that we as people will say, this is really different. It's really odd. Well, I thought I'd seen just about everything. But in the animal world, sometimes opposites really do attract, and sometimes those animals that are supposed to be enemies really aren't enemies. They end up being friends. Now, this is some information that came up about some workers at a South Korean zoo. There was a 10-year-old lioness. Her name is Suni, which means tame. And she has a pal, a 4-year-old dog, Tangchil, named after a popular Korean cartoon character. And they just love each other, this dog and the lion. Now, out in the wild, this dog might be breakfast for this lion, but they've been raised at the zoo since the lion was abandoned as a cub, and they've lived in the same enclosure since 2002. And now they say the dog mimics the lion. He tries to roar. And he just is not afraid. It's as if because of the bonding between these two animals, the characteristics are being shared. And I can tell you, I've seen that happen with animals. We've got our little Scottish Terrier, Victor, whose buddy was a 10-year-old cat. And it's amazing. He's 2 years old now, but that interaction with that cat who was his pal, it's amazing. He pats his face the way a cat will, with its paws. Well, he does it with his little paws. And there's just certain things, and he knows how to jump like a cat. I mean, it's just absolutely amazing. We've never seen a Scotty that has done this, but that's what he does. And also, there is a cat, Safina, who is a 2.5-pound lion cub born at Britain's Linton Zoo. Now, she had to be hand-reared at the zookeeper's home because her parents abandoned her. And so they decide, we have got to find something or someone that this animal can bond with. Well, she found a father figure, which was the zookeeper's orange house cat, Ernie. Now, Ernie, being the zookeeper's cat, has seen all kinds of wild baby animals brought home, and he has been teaching this 2.5-pound lion cub how to wash, how to groom himself, and he goes around taking care of this lion cub, and I got a picture in front of me. He's even taught the lion cub how to fish in a nearby pond, and they snuggle together when they take naps. Now, this little cub is growing, right? And they grow pretty fast. The tomcat doesn't care. Not at all. Arne could care less. As big as Safina could possibly get, it looks like Arnie's going to be a pal for life. And then I thought the last one here, a dog going nuts for a squirrel. This I've heard in different scenarios. But there was a baby squirrel that was rescued by a gal by the name of Debbie. She lives here in the state of Washington, and she has a Papillon dog, Giselle. And when Giselle was introduced to this little squirrel, she was very comfortable with the squirrel, nursing the squirrel right along with her puppies. And she said the squirrel played with the puppies just like he was part of the litter, and the squirrel, whose name is Finnegan, lives in a tree by Debbie's home and now has had babies of its own and just stays around the house. It's like, this is fine, I'm out here in the wild, but I want you to know that I'm just doing great. Animals are really, really amazing. They are absolutely amazing, and they're so much fun. And if you have a special story about an animal, do send it along and share it with me. Okay, I told you this wonderful recipe for grilled chicken and peaches. Mm-hmm. What you're going to need is 2 pounds of chicken legs and thighs, 2 pounds of chicken legs and thighs, a teaspoon of salt, a quarter teaspoon of pepper, and 4 peaches. And, of course, this time of the year you can't get fresh, so use your canned. And then you want to have 3 tablespoons of mango chutney, 3 tablespoons of mango chutney, 2 tablespoons of chopped red onion, finely chopped, 2 tablespoons of chopped red onion, 1 teaspoon of grated fresh ginger, 1 teaspoon of grated fresh ginger, 1/2 teaspoon of grated lime zest, 1/2 teaspoon of grated lime zest, 1 tablespoon of chopped cilantro, 1 tablespoon of chopped cilantro, and you might want to have some lime wedges just as an option. Now, all you do, this is real simple. You preheat your grill for your cooking, for direct and indirect heating, and you can also use your broiler, like I said. Now, you want to put salt and pepper on the chicken, and you want to broil it for 5 minutes or whatever it takes until it's pretty much going to be cooked. And grilling, you want to grill the 4 peach halves of 2 minutes per side. If you're going to broil them, stick them under the broiler until they get that nice crispy brown where the sugars just caramelize on the peach. And then you want to dice the remaining peaches, toss them with the rest of your ingredients, your chutney, your onion, your ginger, your lime zest, and your cilantro, and then your chicken when it's cooked. You sprinkle it with this item, serve with the peaches, this chutney, and then garnish with your lime wedges. A totally different taste experience. Totally different. Sweet, easy, quick, but different. And if you want different, that's a good thing to do. Donna Sebo here, and remember always you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Today I had an author on who, together with her husband, has created something they never dreamed they would be creating, and that is a line of children's books. They're making a difference in children's lives with their art and with their words, which are stories that children can carry in their hearts and minds for years to come. You as an individual can make a difference. You can make a difference in a way that is for you alone to do. Don't be afraid to be unique. Don't be afraid to step out of the box and be true to who you are. You may not have to donate an organ, but sometimes it's something so simple as saying, I appreciate you. Stand up, wake up, and be aware of life. It's a wonderful gift. Enjoy it. This is Donna Sebo. We'll talk to you tomorrow, same time, same place, right here on bbsradio.com. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.
I lost my dream, packed my bags with little things. Two more days, I'm off the plane, the whole world's gone insane. They gave me orders, take this gun.